Welcome into the Poetry Tavern, a place to discuss both reading and writing poetry, spotlighting new poems and ideas every week.
Hello, and welcome into another episode of the Poetry Tavern. I'm your host, as always, Charlotte, and this week we're going to be talking about semantic fields. Now, semantic fields is a pretty simple concept. It's basically when a poem or a piece of work has words that all fit into the same sort of field, like the same sort of idea. So you could say rain, cloud, fog, and they would all be in the semantic field of weather. One of the things that was like interesting about doing this is that a lot, if not most, poems use semantic fields in one way or another, so limiting down to ones that are kind of more obvious took a little bit of work, but honestly, I just picked the first sort of ones that came to mind. So I have one that's really obvious and one that's a bit more subtle. But instead of me waffling about it, let's just get into it. Alright, so our first poem is Semantic Field by Jo Bratton. Again, I love a thing that just says what it does on the tin. So let me read it. The poet has created a semantic field of fields. Fields of oats, wheat and barley, corn and rye. The poet has created a semantic field of rape. The poet describes a goddess weeping in a semantic field of asphodels. The poet describes a poet dying in a semantic field of poppies. The poet describes a politician running through a semantic field of wheat. The poet is respected in her semantic field. The poet has created a semantic pastoral, a semantic bucolic. The poet has created a semantic pasture, a semantic window, a semantic lees and semantic glebe, semantic meadow, sward and lee. The poet is trapped in a semantic field. The semantic gates are shut and the fence is high. There are no semantic styles. The poet's semantic field is fallow. There are horses ploughing the poet's semantic field, furrowing, harrowing and cleaving. The poet has created a semantic minefield. The poet has created. Interestingly, although like it is saying that it's created a bunch of different semantic things, a lot of them are very nature-based, and I'd even go so far as to say like cultivated. It also, like, there's sort of towards the end the idea of the farm and the fields as being like those to be harvested, and almost as if it's saying the semantic field, you have to get something out of the semantic field. The idea of the poet being trapped in this field is really interesting as well, because it's almost like saying that they become limited by the fact that they are trying to stick within this semantic field to the things that they can say. So the poet is basically creating their own undoing. I like the idea of connecting that with the idea of the semantic farm. I mean, it doesn't say semantic farm at any point. It talks about the semantic styles and the semantic fences and the semantic gates. But all of it sort of gave me this image of a farm and almost a thing that, like, cultivating what is already natural and there. I think it's just a really interesting way to look at semantic fields while also using semantic fields. I love a thing that does what it says on the tin. I'm very much a big fan of do as you say poems. So our next poem is one that I'm returning to after a little while. I haven't read this poem in, I want to say, 6 years. Not to say that, like, it's a forgettable one, but, like, it's so ingrained in my head that I just, like, never felt the need to actually go back to it, because I'm like, I know what that poem is, I know what that poem's about. But let me just read it for you, because there's me saying, oh, I know what it's about, doesn't actually give you an idea of the poem. It's one about Ozymandias by Percy Bysshe Shelley, by the way. I met a traveller from an antique land who said, two vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. Near them, on the sand, half sunk, a shattered visage lies, whose frown and wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command tell that its sculptor well those passions read which yet survive, stamped on these lifeless things, the hand that mocked them and the heart that fed. And on the pedestals these words appear: my name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, in despair. Nothing beside remains. Round the decay of that colossal wreck, boundless and bare, the lone and level sands stretch far away. In this one, we sort of have this idea of desolation and decay threaded throughout. I mean, especially in the last couple of lines when it talks about decay, these legs being the only thing that remains, boundless and bare, lone and level. When it's all about sands, we often picture the desert as somewhere desolate or at least abandoned. The word lifeless within the description given by the traveller, the need for survival. Yeah, it's very much like talking about this desolate land of where nothing anymore lives behind this statue. Interestingly, if you look at the history, Ozymandias was a brutal tyrant, and it's almost like saying this is what remains of this tyrant's kingdom. His cruelty destroyed it. And it was so interesting to come back to, and like remembering this poem, I almost felt it had such weight, but it is a short poem. And it has a lot to say. If you'd like literally tear it apart and pull out the stitchings, and it has a lot to say, but it does it in a sort of condensed way. I mean, it's not like three lines short, but it isn't sonnet long. You know, it's interesting, and it is compact and filled to the brim with interesting things. So that brings us to the end of our episode. Thanks everyone for listening. I've had good fun with this one. As I always do. Next week is going to be all about anaphora, which is basically just like when you have a phrase or a word that repeats at the beginning of each sentence to create impact. When I was looking at like examples of anaphora, it kept telling me about the Martin Luther King speech. So it's sort of like the I Have a Dream speech in that sense, that it repeats I have a dream, which it's sort of become infamous for. Anyway, I'll see you guys next time. Bye.